chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Again, today we are continuing our summer sermon series, and under the umbrella of your purpose, finding your purpose, we want to deal with the area of sacrifice. So today's message is entitled The Altar of Sacrifice. The Altar of Sacrifice. Let us stand for the reading of the Word of God. Trust everyone has grabbed a copy of the Word of God, because there's just something about reading the Word of God. If you want to be encouraged today, you want to be empowered today, you want to be strengthened today, from the youngest to the very oldest, you need to get the Word of God in you. You got to get the Word of God in you. Beginning at Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8 at verse 18. The Bible says, "So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his son's wife and all the animals and all the creatures that moved along the ground, and all the birds and everything that moved on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man.'" Let the church say it again. "Never again will I curse the ground because of man. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again," he says, "will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Amen. Amen. So let's turn over to Psalms 51. Psalm 51, 17. Just take in the Word of God as we read it. The Bible says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise." And then we go over into the New Testament to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Catch up with us if you're falling behind. Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is," check this out, you want to know your purpose, "this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will." Let the church say amen as you take a bow in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. You may be seated today. This morning I want to speak to you, coming from all three of those passages of Scripture. I want to speak to your message I've entitled The Altar of Sacrifice. The Altar of Sacrifice. Altars in Bible days were not as pretty and clean as you see this altar today. Altar in Bible days, there were sacrifices that were made. There was something very valuable that was offered to God, and it died. It died on the altar. It was not something that was lame. It was not something that was sick. It was the very best that they had. If they had one of their the fattest calf or the fattest lamb or the healthiest bull, those were what was offered unto God, because it was made very clear that the sacrifice had to be pure. It was clear that the sacrifice had to be healthy. It was clear that the sacrifice had to be something of significant value. Amen. So altars were not pretty. When you came and looked at an altar, you saw blood there. When you came and looked at the altar, you saw the results of that something was burning, that something had, something significant had been sacrificed. Unfortunately, today we don't understand what sacrifices are, and we don't get the results of sacrificing because we're not operating in a way that God wants us to operate. The first passage of scripture we looked at was in Genesis. We know that God told Noah to build what? God told Noah to build an ark. Okay, he told Noah to build an ark. Noah, according to the scriptures, he was not a general contractor. He had never built anything in his life. But God told him to build an ark. And he was obedient to God. He built an ark, and the people did not want to follow him. The people weren't willing to make a sacrifice. But the Bible says that the only ones that were obedient to God, the only ones that were obedient to God, and let me just give you a glimpse of how wicked man's heart and how cold man's heart is, that the only ones that were obedient to God was Noah and his family. Even the animals, the Bible says, the beast of the field was obedient to God. But we chose not to be obedient to God. Therefore, God had to destroy what was left of all mankind. But our scripture picks up that after the flood was over, and everything, the grounds became dry, we find Noah stepping out of the ark, that he was obedient to everything that God had told him to do. Even though his cousins and his uncles and his moms and dads and those that he worked with, those that he saw, even though they would not agree with what God told him he needed to do, he comes out of the ark. What is the first thing he does when he gets out of the ark? He makes a sacrifice unto God. Before he gave a high five to his wife and his children, and before they began to celebrate that their lives had been spared, he makes a sacrifice unto God. He makes a sacrifice unto God that was pleasing. See, sacrifices creates there's an aroma. Anytime you make a sacrifice unto God, there is an aroma that comes from that sacrifice. If that sacrifice is unhealthy, then the aroma doesn't smell too good. But if it's a pure sacrifice unto God, then that aroma that comes up into God's nostrils is an aroma that is pleasing unto God. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a mother and I had a father. He passed away. But we do know that when you please your parents as children, sometimes even as adults, you get blessed. Sometimes you get blessed almost instantaneously as you do something, as you do something very special. Your parents been teaching you to do, behave a certain way, operate a certain way, and you do exactly as they instructed you to do. There's often an immediate reward that comes from that. And so can you imagine today if you begin to sacrifice unto God, and that aroma, God begins to smell it, and it smells very good, and you make God happy? Can you imagine making God happy with your sacrifice? Can you imagine really impressing God and putting a smile on God's face? What do you think God will do for you? David said it like this. David says, the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God is interested in how you make sacrifices unto him, pure and honest sacrifices unto him. And so today I came to speak to some folks that are seeking to be as authentic in the Lord as you can be. Because when you make a sacrifice of your time, of your treasures, your talents and your treasures unto God, it need to be pure. It should not be with other motives. It should be a pure and an honest sacrifice unto God. A story is told of two friends that had not seen each other in a mighty long time. Their names were Pete and Larry. They had been friends for many years, but they had not seen each other for a long time, perhaps decades. Now they had a long talk, and in their talk, they began to try to fill in the gaps of all of those years by talking about their lives. Finally, Pete invites Larry to visit him in his apartment, his new apartment. And so Pete says, I got a wife, he says, and I got three kids, and I love to have you come and visit with us. Amen. Larry said, great. Where do you live? And Pete says, here's the address. And he says, there are plenty of parking behind the apartment. So he says, I want you to park. I want you to come around to the front door. And he gives him some specific instructions. Watch this. He says, kick open the door with your foot. Go to the elevator and press the button with your left elbow. And then he says, then enter. He said, when you reach the sixth floor, go down the hall until you see the name, my name, on the door. Then press the doorbell with your right elbow. And he said, then we'll let you in. And so Larry says, that's good, but tell me something real quickly. What is all this business of kicking the front door, then pressing the elevator button with my right elbow and then my left elbow and then Pete broke it down to him like this. He says, surely you're not planning to come to dinner empty handed. And you see so often, when we come to God, we don't come to God with a sacrifice in our hands. We come to God empty-handed. We come to God as if we have nothing to offer to him. And so we make a statement to God and saying to God, God, you've done nothing for me. Many believers return leftovers or nothing to the Lord and understand little about sacrifices and commitments. God is interested in your sacrifices. God is interested in the commitments you make to him. Again, this is something very, very upfront and personal, because each one of us are required to become a living sacrifice unto God. God is no longer interested in your dead sacrifices. He's no longer interested in blood on the altar. He's no longer interested in you offering up your very very best to him, killing it on the altar. He wants you, and you, and you. So look to the person beside you or behind you and just remind them that God wants you, and he wants you living. He's looking for a living sacrifice. And so if you got blood flowing in you right now, then you are a living sacrifice. If you're dead, it's too late. But if you're alive, God wants you. God is looking for you. So he's looking for a living sacrifice. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, the scripture says, three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord, what? Empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has bless you. So you see here that God is blessing all of us. In fact, God is blessing you today more than what you can ever imagine. God has blessings already in stored up for us the next week and the next week and the weeks to come and the years to come. That God has a treasure chest, a blessing for the people of God. But what God is interested in is, are we willing to be that living sacrifice? Paul offers some guidance to the Gentile believers in Romans about how to live a full life and not a fertile life for the Lord, to be more like the Lord and less like that of the world. So he challenged us today, being that of a living sacrifice. He challenged us today that in order for your sacrifice to generate an aroma into the nostrils of God, that you must surrender your all. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. He says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, the Chinese or the Asian people are very particular about eating fresh seafood. If you go into a Chinese restaurant, you will know that there is a very big fish tank in most of the establishments. And it's really not there for you to be amused with. It's not there for you to, you know, take some of the fish out and take it home and put it in your fish tank. But it's there for a reason. And the reason why they have them there is Chinese people are very particular about eating fresh fish. So they know if they go out and catch it and bring it to the store, that there will be a period of time of preparation and preserving it, that by the time it is cooked, it's no longer fresh. So one Chinaman somewhere came up with an idea, we'll just put the tank in the store, in the restaurant. How many of you been to the restaurants and saw those big fish in the tank? Okay, they're not cheap, by the way, okay? And so when the order comes in and you want some fish, they're able to go in there and take them out, and they take several out a day and they continue to add to them. But they are very particular about it. And so they cook this fish and they prepare it, and it's fresh. is not stale, is not several days old, but is fresh. And they're very fanatical about fresh fish. Well, the Lord wants a living, a fresh sacrifice. He does not want a sacrifice that's been dead. You know, it's you know, if you're a farmer, I should say, and you show up one day and a very nice sized cow or bull you find dead on the farm. Now, it's very easy to quickly get him, you know, gut it out and prepare it and start chopping him up and everything else. But there's a reason why it died. Okay, and that's not a good thing. Because if you eat something and it died because of some disease or what type, then more than likely the entire piece of livestock is poison and not good for you. And what God is saying to each one of us, that he's not interested in you dying and that the fact that you're dead, but what he's interested in now is your ability to offer yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Because you can't do anything for God dead. We say at funerals, we say it oftentimes at funerals, to be absent in the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And while we participate in these funeral services and the body is right there, and we act like we're giving the deceased person our last final words. But I got some news for you. They're not there. Okay? They can't hear anymore. It's over. And what God is speaking to us today and saying that I want you now right where you are. I want you to offer to me a living sacrifice, a pure sacrifice unto God. And so God doesn't want a sacrifice that's been frozen. God doesn't want a sacrifice that's been preserved. God wants a living sacrifice. He wants the very best that you have to offer unto him. He wants a sacrifice that is living. It is something that is active, something that is able to function, something that he's able to use, that God can use every one of us here. From the very youngest, we got a 2-year-old in here today, to the very oldest, God can use your life. Don't you ever underestimate how God can use your life. There are people right now in your neighborhood, they saw you leave the house, they saw you heading to church. They're watching you. They're watching you more than you can ever imagine, more than you can ever imagine. Pastor Ward drives a van, and we're quite amazed because we're just constantly getting calls. They see it. It's a moving billboard that people are watching. And while I'm using the example of the van, but I want you to know that your very life, you are a moving billboard, and people are reading your life. People are looking at your life, so God can use your life as a living sacrifice. And he wants you. Joshua breaks it down like this. Joshua say, make a commitment to serve the Lord your God in your what? In your youth. In your youth. Serve the Lord your God in your youth. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed and say, okay, God, I'm ready now. I'm ready now. Use me, Lord God. Use me. I'm ready now. The doctors come in the room and say, you only got an hour left. And now you're talking to, okay, God, you use me now. No, it don't work like that. God is looking for a living sacrifice. Every one of you in here, you were able to get in here today. You're able to walk in here. I didn't notice us pushing anybody in here or dragging anybody in here, but you came in here so God can use you. A living sacrifice. It is something that is active. It is something that is functional. Then he says, I want my sacrifice, the sacrifice that you will offer to me. He said, I want it to be holy. I want it to be holy. Now, how do you make it holy? How do you make a sacrifice unto God? holy. What makes it holy is that there is no strings attached. What makes it holy is that you're not doing it for the wrong motives. What makes it holy is that you giving that deep down in your heart, you're giving your very best unto God. It makes it holy. So he said, I want something that is active. And then he said, I want something that is holy. It's pure. It is pleasing unto him. He says, I want a sacrifice that is living, a sacrifice that is holy. And then he says, I want a sacrifice that's pleasing. You know, it is amazing when you cook something that is very delicious. I mean, you can smell it. Most either Friday or Saturday, I'll stop by the truck stop on Highway 27. Just the smell alone, okay, can cause a brother to stop. Okay, just the smell alone, you smell the jerk pork. You smell the curry goat. He smells the curry goat. You smell the jerk chicken and the escovitch fish. You can, once you pull up there, it's the aroma before you even see it with your eyes. Just the aroma of it causes you to follow your nose. If you show up near a bakery, you can be just a block from a bakery. But the aroma that comes from that bakery, you can be running late for work, but you're like, if I can just get 5 minutes to get up in there and get a slice of that fresh bread, I'll be all right. It is something about the aroma that causes you to salivate. Okay? You guys know what salivating is, right? You start slobbing all over yourself just to get a bite from it. And so my challenge to each of you today, what kind of sacrifice have you made to God that caused him to salivate, that caused him to want to get closer to you, caused him to want to become more part of you? What kind of sacrifice are you making with your life that will cause God to want a bite out of you? Amen. What kind of sacrifice are you making unto God? So he says he wanted living. He said he wants it holy. And he wants it pleasing unto God. Paul further tells us, he said, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes a life-term process of our minds being transformed and changed. It is not a real simple process, and it's only because we're holding on to so much of this world. But the less we hold on to the world, is the more God can do a great work in our lives. The outcome of a sacrificial life and a transformed mind is walking in the will of God. You've sacrificed your life. You made it very clear that you're going to offer your life unto God as a living sacrifice. The outcome of it is that you're walking in the will of God. The mind is not given to us merely to remain neutral. It's been said a man is, a mind, I should say, is a terrible thing to waste. Scientists have told us that man uses a very small percentage of their brains. Very small percentage. Which means that most of us here, we are living beneath what God has for you. You haven't really activated the full potential of how God can use your mind. This is why the United Negro College Fund has a saying that the mind is a terrible thing to waste, because they concluded that if they can get young black men and black young ladies in the same in an environment where their minds can be transformed, where their minds can be changed, that they will have the ability to excel in life. Did you know that the Asian culture, not that I'm focusing in on the Asian culture of people, they have a different mindset than most Americans. Many have wondered, how is it that the Asians come over and within a short period of time that they excel so much higher? It is a mindset. If an Asian person is working beside you at a Burger King, while you might be complaining because they're paying you just the minimum wages to ring people up, the Asian person more than likely ain't complaining like you. In fact, what the Asian person does is that they go to the boss and they say, "Can I do something else? Will there be an opportunity for some more training? Do you need somebody to work late? Do you need somebody to help you count the money? Do you need somebody to help you figure out the schedule? I'm available. I'm available. I'm available." Why? It's a mindset. So when they get the job, They look at the job as that one day I'm going to own this franchise. See, there's a different mindset. So they don't be complaining about why they're making me do all of this work and only paying me minimum wage. Their mindset is that, bring it on. Teach me more. Teach me more. Teach me more. And so when a decision comes down, well, we got to move this supervisor out and relocate him somewhere. Who on the list can do this? Who on the list can do this? Who on the list can do this? And they got all these check marks by the name. Why? Because they got a different mindset. And so what God is telling us is that it's in your mind. We deal with that in spiritual warfare. It's all about what's in your mind. Our minds need to be transformed. Our minds need to be transformed. And we need to understand God and our sacrifices unto God. So the outcome of the sacrificial life and a transformed mind is walking in the will of God. Do you love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind? Are you withholding your time, your talents, and your treasures that rightfully belongs to the Lord? Do you walk in the path of the wicked, or do you walk in the path of the righteous? Are you walking in the path of life, understanding peace, or do you love or imitate the world or the Lord? You see, God is looking for lives that are that brings about a sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice. That every day you wake up, you have an opportunity to crucify your flesh. You have an opportunity to grow in God's grace and His knowledge. And that all takes place when you're at the altar of God. There's an old song that is entitled, "Is You're All on the Altar." The chorus says, "Is you're all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does your spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and your soul. You have longed for sweet peace and have for faith to increase and have earnestly and fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid." Check out the final verse. "Who can tell all the love He will send from above? and how happy our hearts will be of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. The altar of sacrifice, people of God. That every day of your life, you are approaching the altar of sacrifice with your life. And God is looking to see what you have to offer up to him. Again, it is more frequent now because God is with us. But in the Jewish custom time, there were certain times when they came before God to make a sacrifice. But we have the opportunity as New Testament believers to have God, the Spirit of God in us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So every day you have an opportunity to make a sacrifice unto God. Lord God, I'm going to fast my lunch just so I can bless be in your presence and love you. Lord God, I'm going to fast this. Lord God, I'm going to give up this just for you. I'm going to give up my time, Lord God, just to help out in the food pantry ministry. Lord, I'm going to give up, Lord God, some additional financial blessings that I have, Lord God, just to advance the kingdom of God. There are so many areas of our life, people of God, that you can make a sacrifice unto God. The goal is not to do it to please man, but to please who? To please God. Because you want your sacrifice. You want your sacrifice to be, to give off an aroma to God that smells so good that causes God to want to get closer to you. And the same concept of a bakery, how you desire to get in that bakery and to be a part of what's in that kitchen. God has that same effect. It has to become something that is pleasing unto the Lord. But let me tell you the tragedy of it all. Some of the aroma that come up to God, that God has to do like this. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a line before, but I must say, I know how to pick. You know, when you're at the shopping, going grocery shopping. And you see like lane 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're like, you're trying to guess which lane more than likely is going to move the fastest, right? But I, for whatever reason, I'm always picking the slowest lane. Even if there's just two people in front of me with small item, something goes wrong. They don't have enough money or they got someone training and I find myself there waiting. But I don't know if you've ever been in line, a bunch of people, and somebody on the line just kind of let out one. And the aroma is so bad that you are willing to lose your place in line and go somewhere else. You can't handle it. The tragedy is that the type of sacrifices that so many of us are offering unto God, that God has to get out of the way because it doesn't smell that good. It doesn't smell that good. So God is challenging us today to offer up to him a sacrifice that gives off an aroma that is pleasing unto God. That is pleasing unto God. So I wonder today, is there a check in your spirit? And your desire is that you want your sacrifice to be so pleasing unto God. So pleasing unto God that God wants to just stand there all day and take it in. But if it's so displeasing that the presence of God flees from your presence because something that doesn't give off a fragrance that is pleasant is not good to continue to take in again and again and again. So people of God, what an opportunity God has given each one of us today. Our very lives, God is calling on each one of us to offer our lives unto him as a living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice unto him. You know, there's so much greatness done in God that is done in secret. And so as we offer ourselves unto God, offer our time, our talents, and our treasures unto God, let them be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Let them be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Some years ago, a brother used to clean the church every Saturday. And a few times I bumped into him in here, and he was just singing. He was just having a great time. In fact, I interrupt his worship by just popping in on him. And I said, "Brother, I'm so sorry that you're the only one that cleans the church." He said, "Oh, Pastor, don't be sorry." He said, "This is my best time of the week." You see, it became his altar of sacrifice. It became his altar of sacrifice. And God is looking for someone here today that you're willing to give God your very best. You're willing that you want to make sure that your sacrifice, that when God breathed it into his nostrils, that it smells so good that he wants more of it. And you see, once we gain that type of understanding, then we can go to the next level and the next level and to the next level with God. Because how can God not bless someone that is pleasing? You see, the truck stop down the street, many stop by because of the aroma and the fragrance and everything. Brother Spaulding and I, we were there a few weeks ago, and I was trying to get him to dance, but he told me that's his BC life before Christ, that he can't do those moves like he used to. They were playing the song 5 cent, 10 cent, dollar, 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 and he says, "Pastor, I can't." I said, "You know that song?" He said, "Yes, that's a Trinidadian song." I said, "You know how they dance with that song?" He said, "Yes, Pastor, that's my BC life." But we enjoyed just standing in line and taking in the aroma of that experience, and let God enjoy taking in the aroma of your sacrifice. And so today, my challenge is to every one of you here to truly become that living sacrifice unto God. There's no trick to all of this. If God likes what he's smelling, do you think he's going to go somewhere else? No. And none of you go somewhere else. You know, there's a gentleman that comes over to the house, and he's giving the children music lessons. But he comes right around the time that my wife is cooking. and so when it's time to leave, my wife, just being, polite and everything, and she often says, "Would you like something to eat?" But he's been practicing with the kids for a couple of hours, taking in that aroma. And so when you take in the aroma from something that's been cooking and being prepared, you can't help but want it. But people of God, get in touch with God. Give him a sacrifice like he ain't never smelled coming out of you before, and watch what he do in your life. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord God, you have given us to be a living sacrifice unto you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us, Father, that we can be a living sacrifice. We can be a sacrifice, Lord God, that is offered up to you, that our lives, Lord God, can release such a beautiful aroma, Lord God, that would be so pleasing unto you. We pray right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that every heart, every mind, Lord God, that you would put our hearts in order, that you would put our priorities in order, that you would help us to see, Lord God, that you desire to do greater things for us than what we could ever imagine or think. But help us, Lord God, to be that living sacrifice today. Help us, Lord God, to offer up our very self unto the Lord. Help us, Lord God, in the Spirit right now to draw a circle around us. And so, Lord God, I take myself and I offer it up to you as a living sacrifice. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, unto thee. Father God, do a great work in our life. Do a great work, Lord God. Do a great work in our lives, Lord God. As we surrender our very all unto you, do a great work in our lives today. Do a great work, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to take our very self and offer it up to you. Lord God, maybe some families want to take their entire family today and say, Lord God, we sacrifice. We offer up our families unto you, Lord God. We offer up our relationships unto you, Lord God. We offer up, Lord God, our jobs and our future promotion. Lord God, we offer it all up to you. We place it all in your hands today. Bless us, Lord God. Every head, body, eyes shut, no one looking around. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor,